faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you're with us. We're going to be joined here by Bill Federer. We have really, I mean, the Supreme Court, who would have ever thought the rulings we're getting, right? We've got a ruling on the fact that if the state governments are going to give money to private schools, they also have to give it to religious schools. Of course, I have to warn and caution people that sometimes that money comes with strings, so be very aware of that. But then we have the Supreme Court ruling, of course, on the Second Amendment and your right to pass a background check and then carry your gun outside your home. Then we have the ruling on Roe v. Wade. And now we have a ruling on the coach that just simply prayed at the end of the football games on the field. You guys remember all that? Well, the Supreme Court ruled, again, this is not the establishment of a religion. Here we have the article linked over at worldviewreport.com. Supreme Court rules for coach whose prayers on football field raise questions about church-state separation. This is the Los Angeles Times. Then we'll be joined by Bill Federer. Supreme Court rules for coach whose prayers on field raise church-state questions. The Supreme Court ruled Monday for a former high school football coach whose prayers at the 50-yard line drew crowds and controversy, declaring his public prayers were protected as free speech. The 6-3 decision is a symbolic victory for those who seek a larger role for prayers and religion in public schools. The court stressed that Coach Joe Kennedy's prayers began as private and personal expression and were not official acts of promoting religion at school. Writing for the majority, Justice Neil Gorsuch said, quote, both the free exercise and free speech clauses of the First Amendment protect expressions like Mr. Kennedy's. Nor does a proper understanding of the amendment's establishment clause require the government to single out private religious speech for special disfavor. The Constitution and the best of our traditions counsel mutual respect and tolerance, not censorship and suppression for religious and non-religious views alike, end quote. The court's three liberals, of course, dissented. Very good news today. We'll see where it goes. But, I mean, do you guys ever think you'd be seeing these kind of decisions being made by the courts? Absolutely been shocking and, of course, wonderful as well. Joining me to discuss this is historian Bill Federer. Bill, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Brandon, great to be with you.
What do you make of this ruling, Bill?
Well, it lines up with what our founders intended, and I'll begin with a quote from Ronald Reagan. And this was in 1982. Reagan said, unfortunately, in the last two decades, we've experienced an onslaught of such twisted logic that if Alice were visiting America, she might think she'd never left Wonderland. We're told that it somehow violates the rights of others to permit students in school who desire to pray to do so. Clearly, this infringes on the freedom of those who choose to pray, the freedom taken for granted since the time of our founding fathers. Reagan goes on, to prevent those who believe in God from expressing their faith is an outrage. The relentless drive to eliminate God from our schools should be stopped. And thankfully, today, we've taken a step in the direction of stopping this relentless drive to eliminate God from the schools. So here's this coach. He was voluntarily praying at the 50-yard line at a school football game, not forcing anybody to pray, not having a state-sponsored prayer for anybody to recite. It was his personal expression, and it was wrong for the government to take away his rights. And, you know, I was thinking, for those of us who believe in God, we would say, well, was today's decision God's will? And we say, yeah. But you think of it, he's been fighting this since 2016. Sometimes for God's will to take place, he uses us in long battles, like it was God's will to end slavery in Britain, and William Wilberforce spent like 30 years fighting. So we want to have God's will done, but it's going to be a fight, and we have to be willing to step out in the fray and spend years fighting.
Absolutely. Hold right there, Bill. We're going to be joined by another guest, and then we're going to come back to Bill. Interesting, all these decisions coming down now, because you just heard Bill say this has been a case that the coach has been fighting since 2016. And here we get that ruling today, 2022. How ironic, again, coming down with the Second Amendment ruling, the right of people to have their carry permits and have them and go outside their home with protection of their weapon with them. The ruling about if you're going to give money to private schools, you're going to have to give it to religious schools as well, to the overturning Roe v. Wade and sending it back to the states. And by the way, there was a lot of violence over the weekend. The mainstream media probably doesn't want to report it, but I'm reporting it tonight on my news report, my nightly newscast, Worldview Report. I'm reporting and showing video of a lot of the vandalism that was indeed done over the weekend, just as Jane's Revenge and Ruth Sent Me in these groups have been saying they would do. And so there were a lot of skirmishes. Maybe some of this is not being reported by the media because it doesn't make them look good, but it did happen, and I'm afraid it's going to only increase. But I'm going to put Bill on hold right there for a minute. I'm joined now by Colonel Sullen. Many of you know Colonel Sullen, Lawrence Sullen, PhD, retired U.S. Army Reserve Colonel, and a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, and he had a civilian career in international business and medical research. He's the author of Restoring the Republic, subtitled Arguments for a Second American Revolution. I woke up this morning to a great article by him at the Gateway Pundit, warning Biden administration is corrupting the U.S. military to use against Americans. Colonel, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon. It's a real pleasure being on your program.
Well,
again,
it's always an honor to have you with us, and thank you for making time for us in your extremely busy schedule. I know you're in great demand. You've been doing a great job writing about the COVID shots, the vaccines, so-called vaccines, the genocide that this is creating. By the way, let me also just mention real briefly, we are, of course, getting reports. Many of you are going to hear this for the first time. Dr. Carrie Madej, who I've interviewed with America's Five Doctors, I interviewed her last August in person, but she has been on my shows several times as a guest. She was in what is reported to be a small plane crash yesterday. I guess it took off from an airport in Georgia and ended up a single-engine plane going down. We understand she has been was in surgery yesterday for many, many, many hours. I'm being told by some friends, like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and stuff, that it took quite a while just to get them out of the plane because of where it landed, I guess, in trees. But understand, again, we may have to correct the record if necessary, but what we're being told now is that very, very severe injuries, and Carrie Madej has had to undergo many, many, many hours of surgery. So, again, we're praying for Dr. Carrie Madej, and would put that out to the audience as well. By the way, Dr. Lawrence, are you familiar with Dr. Carrie Madej?
Yes, not intimately, but I've heard her name and I've read some of her material.
Yeah, really sad. So we're going to pray for a speedy recovery. Okay, so your article, you've been exposing a lot with COVID, so that's why it made me think of Carrie. But your latest article is very interesting as someone, again, high-ranking as you have been as a retired military officer. Tell our audience what it is you're warning about, because you're not just warning about Biden administration corrupting the U.S. military, but you're saying he's going to turn the military against the American people, something many of us in this audience have been wondering for some time if that's why they were purging the military. I mean, why else would you purge the military and then try to take away their Second Amendment rights, correct?
Yes, indeed. I was very glad that the Supreme Court made its decision on gun ownership in favor of the Second Amendment. But I've been very concerned about these red flag statutes which allow gun confiscation without due process. Now, this was recently passed by the Congress and signed into law by Biden. And in my mind, it bears a striking similarity to the gun confiscation carried out by the British Army, which precipitated the battles of Lexington and Concord in April 1775. Now, the Second Amendment right to own and bear arms, it really is the guarantor of liberty, and the violation of which I consider a red line that can't be crossed. Now, I'd like to point out to your audience that there's a law called, an 1878 law called the Posse Comitatus Act. Now, this is a law which limits the powers of the federal government to use the federal military personnel, that is the U.S. military, to enforce domestic policies. Now, I'm really afraid that the Biden regime is going to violate that, because if you look back into history, Stalin purged the Red Army in the late 1930s, and Barack Obama and Joe Biden actually have been grooming the U.S. military into a politically reliable instrument of tyranny. So we've seen actions against Christians who have religious objections to the vaccine mandates. We see a lot of officers and enlisted personnel objecting to the vaccine mandates for health reasons, and this is one way to purge the U.S. military and create a politically reliable instrument for them to use against the American people, who may object to abortion and want to have their own abortion laws in their own states, and they will possibly use the military to enforce certain Biden regime policies onto the states. So I'm very concerned about this particular issue.
Absolutely. Well said. I absolutely am as well. You state in your article, Americans like myself who believe the United States is no longer a functioning constitutional republic and is being deliberately transformed into a one-party totalitarian state must first make an acute assessment of the situation and then develop a course of action around which a critical mass of patriots can rally. Let me just back you up there, Colonel, because not that you need it, but I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but last November, I did a town hall meeting with four distinguished retired FBI agents, including Terry Turchi, who was a guest with me again last week on television for an hour, the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, working up on the seventh floor and daily briefing the FBI director in that as he was in that position. Then I think was the FBI director then, I think, was what was his name? It'll come to me in a minute. But he has said on video, repeatedly, and on video, we are no longer under the rule of law in America. This is quite shocking to most Americans to hear someone of that caliber saying we're no longer under the rule of law. You're stating the same thing as an Army Reserve colonel. You guys know. You know how government's supposed to work, and you know when it's not working correctly, don't you?
Yes, indeed. I think Americans need to recognize that the federal government, as an institution, is hopelessly corrupt, and that although we have elections, we do not have representative government. And I'm glad you brought up the issue about the FBI. In my opinion, the Department of Justice and the FBI are politically contaminated, which has created a two-tier justice system in which those serving the Democrat Party and the deep state are never held accountable for their criminal activities, while opponents of federal malfeasance, can be treated like Soviet-era political prisoners without any rights or due process. I think what we're seeing today, what we're witnessing, is a controlled demolition of the Bill of Rights by the Biden regime.
Absolutely. Hold right there. Quick break. Back with Colonel Lawrence Sullen. Don't go away, folks. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. We're going to be joined again in a moment by historian Bill Federer. He's going to give us some historical context to what we're hearing from retired U.S. Army Reserve Colonel Lawrence Sellin, who, by the way, is the author of the book, if you want to pick it up, Restoring the Republic, subtitled Arguments for a Second American Revolution. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry has been saying the same thing. Retired CIA analyst Dr. Peter Vincent Pry has been saying the same thing. We need a second American revolution. And lest the FBI, the deep state, think that's insurrection, you know, you can do your psychological projection all day long, and maybe the majority of Americans don't realize it, but we know what you're doing. You're the ones involved in the insurrection. You're the one involved in traitorous insurrection behavior. You're the one carrying out a color revolution. The Declaration of Independence gives us the right to alter and abolish the federal government when they're doing the very things you guys are now doing. So you could try to label us as the subversives. You guys said you're going to do that in your plan written before the Biden election, which we were bringing to people's attention in the summer of 2020. The Democrats wrote an elaborate plan on how this would all happen and how they would respond. But they would put onto us the very thing they're the ones actually doing. Because under the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence gives us the right to alter and abolish the government because we created it. And when it is no longer an instrument by which to secure those God-given inalienable rights, it can be altered or abolished. So when we talk about a second American Revolution, Colonel, that's what we're talking about, is it not? Bringing it, not lawlessness, not anarchy, but actually bringing it back in to accord with the organic documents and law of our nation.
Yes, absolutely. I make no mistake, we are at war. The federal government, which is controlled by anti-American international interests now, and together with the media and the big tech, really have weaponized the federal government against the American people, just for asserting our constitutional rights and demanding accountability. That is, the federal government has actually seceded from the people and is now attempting to establish an absolute tyranny in the manner similar to the events that triggered the Revolutionary War. So I agree with the situation now is such that, you know, in 1776, the American people decided that they wouldn't stand for it anymore from the British government, and now the Biden regime is essentially doing the same thing.
And your solution is very interesting. It almost sounds like your solution, which I want you to explain to our audience, sounds very similar. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not exactly sure what he's fully doing, but it sounds like what you're suggesting is what the governor of Florida, DeSantis, is already maybe doing. Would I be correct in that assessment?
Absolutely correct. It was just in the news that Governor DeSantis in Florida had endorsed the what is called the State Guard. Now, a State Guard is not the State Army or the State Air Force National Guard. It's a separate military defense force operating solely under the authority of the state government and commanded by the governor of the state. In this particular case, Ron DeSantis is also an active guard in Texas. Now, state guards, it's neither new nor radical, and they're authorized by both state and federal law. What they do is they offer structure and organization, and under one umbrella, they can provide tasks that would attract people interested in community defense and service, you know, civic action. These activities can be linked to constitutional sheriffs in the state. So the state guards would then, you know, augment state self-sufficiency in defense and actually be a constitutional bulwark against unlawful federal government intrusion. So the state guard, what they do is support first the Second Amendment, the right to own and bear arms, but they also support the 10th Amendment, which says that the federal government should only have those powers that are not naturally occurring in the states or to the people. So what it does is help devolve the federal government from the powers that should rightly belong to the state and the people.
So how many states currently have, now again, I'll make sure the audience understands, you're not talking about the National Guard. This is something completely different in the states, correct?
Correct. This is a state guard which is controlled by the states. Now, nearly all the states in the United States have, at one time or another, established state guards, but the vast majority of those are now inactive. Now, you have states like Texas and, as you mentioned, Florida, which have active state guards. But there are many, many other states, in particular conservative states, that have established them at one point but have become inactive. There are states like conservative states like Montana and Wyoming who have never established them. So I think this is a great opportunity for patriotic Americans to, you know, work with their states to support the Second and Tenth Amendment and also get directly involved in civic activities, not in just state defense, but, you know, in a case where there's a natural emergency, a natural disaster, the people are already organized to address that because they're coordinating with local constitutional sheriffs.
I wonder if the State Guard Association of the United States, is that connected back to that? State Guard Association of the United States, there it says, is a nonprofit organization advocating for the advancement and support of regulated state militia forces as established by state governments under the authority of the federal law. Well, are we talking about the same thing? Is that the same organization you think that's a part of?
Well, it may be an organization that supports the concept of state guards, but I don't know if the state guards are usually independent, although the states can coordinate amongst themselves.
Do you know any state specifically other than Florida that has one? You said Florida and Texas, right?
Yes. There are actually very, very few that have active state guards. Most of the states have established them, but become over time inactive for whatever reason.
So
there are actually only a handful that have active state guards at this point.
And so what you are suggesting then, if I'm hearing you correct, Colonel Sullivan, is that people should be maybe, say, in my state of Tennessee or in Missouri or in whatever state they're in, and certainly the more conservative states are going to have an easier time doing this, should go ahead and establish their state guard. They should get legislation going in their House and Senate and working to get this kind of thing done in their state.
Absolutely. And they could use the state guards of Florida and Texas, as examples. They could probably contact people in those two states to help them, reestablish or establish for the first time the state guards in their particular states.
And how would you see this operating? Let me lay out a scenario, see if this is kind of what you're thinking. If they start using red flag laws to, go after individuals like yourself, me, Bill Federer, people that are high profile, and they start going after high profile people, disarming them, or going after even just average citizens that aren't high profile people, disarming them, this is where your state guard could step in and say, all right, any federal agent that does this, we will send our state guard to arrest them.
Yes, well, it's actually under the local constitutional sheriff. The state guard would supplement their activities. Now, the state guard would be people who are trained in gun safety and gun use, usually by the local constitutional sheriff. And in case of an emergency, whether that is an unlawful intrusion by the federal government or some kind of natural emergency, they could augment the staff of the sheriff or even be deputized by the sheriff to help them if the federal government comes in unlawfully or unconstitutionally against any of the local residents.
Because at the end of the day, that's what this is about. It's about using the state guard to protect the liberties and freedoms of the people residing in that state from a tyrannical, abusive federal government, correct?
Precisely. And that's why I'm so concerned about the possible violation of the Posse Comitatus Act by the Biden regime. If states are not actually implementing, Biden's policies in their state, unlawful and unconstitutional policies, I'm afraid that the Biden regime, because they've essentially groomed the military to become politically reliable, that they'll send in the U.S. military into these states to enforce unlawful policies and having a state guard, working with the constitutional sheriffs is one way to counter that.
And it could be a forced pandemic shot of some kind coming, right?
Yes, indeed. And as I said, the you know, the state guard can be trained in the use of firearms and be deputized in case of a, you know, a threat to the community. But they can also act in other types of emergencies, natural emergencies, whether, you know, floods or tornadoes or things like that. You know, it gets people involved in their civic responsibilities.
So do you have any idea, in closing, what age group states would open this up to, and would they go through, be like joining the National Guard? The states would open it up to them, maybe provide them with some benefits and different things, and then give them the training. But I'm guessing it would have a certain an age that it would open it up to, correct?
Well, I think it would be opened up to, you know, anybody from, you know, age 18 to, you know, age 70, for example, if they're physically fit and capable of doing things. It's open to all citizens
are
welcome to participate in the State Guard. It's not restricted to a particular age.
Good. All right. And do you see us heading toward a civil war, Colonel? Are we already in a civil war?
Well, I think we're in a lukewarm civil war, and I'm really afraid that this particular decision by the Supreme Court about Roe v. Wade, the abortion decision, would be used by as a predicate by radical groups like Antifa to do a repeat of the George Floyd riots that took place in 2020, and I think this could, you know, precipitate a response by patriotic Americans that we're not going to put up with this, you know, wanton violence in our cities, burning them down, you know, even killing people. Mm-hmm. We're not going to put up with it anymore. So I think we're in a real danger zone right now between now and the November election.
And of course, then we have the World Health Organization, and the Biden regime is wanting to give more and more power. And I guess they're working on an international pandemic treaty, which that could then, I guess, bring in the United Nations and UN troops. So we may not be only trying to protect ourselves against the runaway federal government, but from the UN globalist troops.
Yes, indeed, and that's another reason to, you know, establish or reactivate state guards to protect the community, not only from unlawful intrusions by the federal government, but unlawful intrusions by the UN or other international agencies.
Oh, always a great interview. It's a great article. It's over at the Gateway Pundit by Colonel Lawrence Sullen. Warning, Biden administration is corrupting U.S. military to use against Americans. And again, if you go to the bottom of the page, it actually lists also his book. You can get his book, Restoring the Republic, Arguments for a Second American Revolution. Colonel Sullen, thank you so much for, again, being with us and making time available to us today.
Thank you very much, Brandon. Always a pleasure.
You too, and thank you for writing this excellent article. All right. Colonel Sullen joining us, and now we're going to be joined, and we come back from the break once again by Bill Federer to speak to this issue and give some historical context before we go to your phone lines in a little bit. Bill Federer at AmericanMinute.com, and of course, our website, WorldViewRadio.com, WorldViewRadio.com. You also can go to WVWTV.com, find a lot of TV shows there, and then don't forget our 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend is coming up the middle of October on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. Full details at WVWTVstore.com. Just click on the link for general seating or priority seating. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. And again, the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend, as I was telling you before the break, is available. All the details for that, for party seating, upfront seating, the concert banquet Thursday night, the banquet luncheon on Saturday with Dr. Peter McCullough and others. All the details at wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. Just click on Worldview Weekend general seating tickets or party seating tickets, and on that page you'll find all the details, including the resort, location, and the number to make your reservation, because it all filled up and sold out last year. We anticipate the same happening again this year. WVWTVStore.com. The Worldview Report, my nightly 30-minute newscast, has now been picked up by another network. So we now have five or six networks that have picked up and are carrying that 30-minute nightly news program. When I started that in December, the goal was simply to give you straight 30 minutes of news, kind of like old Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, Frank Reynolds stuff. Those names mean nothing to some people in this in a certain generation. But do you know who those people are, Dalton, or am I going to date myself?
Oh, yeah.
You do? Okay, Dalton does. All right. If you're in your 20s or 30s, you probably have no idea who those people are. But anyway, that was the goal, is just to give you a 30-minute straight news show every night. With the news that's being censored, it's not being reported. It's being deliberately covered up and even made up. And so that news report can be seen each night on many outlets now, including frankspeech.com, wvwtv.com. You can watch it on TV 30 in Milwaukee and on the VCY America Network and their Roku channel and everything at 10 o'clock each night, 10 o'clock Central Time live. It's been picked up by Band.Video, Brighteon, Conservative TV of America. A lot of networks have picked it up in a very short period. We just launched it in December, and many, many people are just really pleased with it. And again, we don't have a whole lot of competition, because now a lot of people are just doing straight 30 minutes news. There's really not a whole lot of other things going on in there other than just straight news. No guest, you know, it's just straight news, just throwing the stories at you one after the other. And most of them, you're going, oh my, oh my. I mean, because again, it's not highly reported stuff, but it's highly documented. It takes a team of seven of us, 15 man hours a day. Seven of us, 15 man hours a day to collect all those stories. To build the graphics, grab the B-roll, film it, post-edit it, put it all together. And so, again, I hope you guys are availing yourself to that 30-minute show. Joining me now is none other than Bill Federer once again. Bill, what do you make of the interview I just did with Colonel Lawrence Sullen?
Yeah, it brings out some history. First of all, fraud and force are the two weapons used by tyrants. Fraud is they'll lie to you as long as you will let them. But when you begin to see through their lies, their popularity goes down. And then they strip away the mask and they just rule through force. And they always have to purge the military of anybody that has virtue. And Plato, 380 BC, talked about the Republic, talked about how a tyrant will... Demos means people, krasi means rule, democracy, the people rule. And the first characteristic of a democracy is tolerance. So they tolerate each other. It's nice. Then they tolerate people that are a little bit off. And then they tolerate people that are a lot off, till finally they're tolerating lawlessness. And there's chaos, random violence. Cities are on fire. And the people panic and want someone to come along and fix it. And so somebody comes along, and Plato calls him a protector. And he begins to bring order, and then he begins to consolidate power so much that people cast it in his teeth that it's getting too powerful. And that's when he begins to drop in the public opinion polls. And so Plato says he has a choice, give up the power, which he's not inclined to do because Plato called him a lover of power, or get rid of the people confronting him. And so he purges his military of anybody with virtue. And anybody purges his administration. He gets everybody out of the government that has internal morals. And all he has left is yes men. And then he frees the convicts, the criminals, the illegal aliens, and they turn into his mob that he sends out to destroy his political enemies. And finally, he stands up in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant. Hmm. And Plato talks about this transition. He says that As he begins to consolidate power and drop in popularity, people become vocal against him. And Plato says, and then there is the famous request for a bodyguard. In other words, he threatens that his life is threatened. He threatens there was an insurrection against him, and that he needs a special military force to protect him. And Plato says, all their thoughts are for him. Let not the people's friend be killed. He says, all their thoughts are for him and none for themselves. And so he uses this fake insurrection attack against his power as an excuse to get his military going, to have his personally loyal guard. And then once he gets all the power, that's when he pulls aside the curtain and he takes off the mask and he rules flat out through force. And an example of this is Diocletian. 285 AD, he becomes the Roman emperor, and Roman army loses some battles with Persia, and he asks his generals why they lost. And they said, well, you've neglected having the army worship the Roman gods. And so Diocletian says, okay, army, get back to worshiping the Roman gods. Well, this is the 3rd century. There's lots of Christians in the military, especially since the previous emperor had been lax and didn't enforce these strict Roman gods. And so Diocletian's purge causes the Christians to be pushed out of the military. Once all the Christians are out of the military, Diocletian decides to use the military to force the entire Roman Empire to return to worshiping the Roman gods. And he sends his army, province by province, tearing down churches, burning the scriptures, cutting out their tongues, boiling them alive. It goes on for 10 years until the people cry out. And finally, on May 1st, 305 AD, is when Diocletian is struck with an intestinal disease and he abdicates the throne. But this is the worst persecution in the first 3 centuries of Christianity. And it all started with the purging of the military. And it's naive of us to think that the same people pushing their agenda through Hollywood, through Disney, through public schools, through teachers, through laws, these same people that are pushing their anti-life, anti-biblical moral agenda, it's naive of us to think that somehow they won't be tempted to want to use the military to push their agenda.
Absolutely.
And if we sit back, it'll be like communist China going into Hong Kong. Remember all those people, those freedom demonstrators in the streets of Hong Kong, and America is silent and does not come to their defense, and communist China comes into Hong Kong and pulls out a list of all those freedom demonstrators, arrests them, locks them away, and they've not been seen since. And now it's really quiet in Hong Kong.
Yep.
What about Cuba? Remember all those freedom demonstrations a few years ago, and the people say, we're not going to back down, and America doesn't come to their help, and it gets really quiet in Cuba because they simply pull out a list of all the people that organized those freedom demonstrations, and they locked them up, and they've not been seen since. And fraud and the force are the two tools in the toolbox of a tyrant.
And what do you think about, Bill, in regards to the Supreme Court? I mean, they're making some pretty good decisions here. Biden has said he could use executive order to go around the Supreme Court when it comes to abortion. We see U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, total piece of trash, but we see him saying he's going to make sure that people in the military, women in the military, have the right to murder their unborn children. Do you think that the Biden regime, when you talk about fraud and what was the other one, fraud and force?
Force, yes.
Yeah. So do you think that you're going to see the Biden regime using this in regards to stacking the Supreme Court? Do you think they're going to attempt to do that?
Yeah, the nature of usurpation is they will do whatever you allow them to do. And, you know, it's sort of like sandlot football, and you say the boundary line is that bush, and the kid steps across the line, and he says, no, it was that other bush. And you're like, well, okay. The moment you give in to him, guess what? The other bush is now the boundary. And so when they usurp power and you let them, guess what? That's how much power they have from now on forever. And then they're going to push the limit again. And they're always going to push in a time of emergency. And this is what George Washington warns of in his farewell address. He says, disorders and miseries incline the hearts of men to seek security in the absolute power of an individual who turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty, and thus you will have a despotism. So yeah. Disorder and misery, a crisis, a pandemic, a shooting, some crises, and that's when they say it's an emergency. We have to push through this thing. And if you let them, Washington warns, he goes, any transient, he says, usurpation, though in one instance, is the instrument of good. It is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. So what's he talking about? Instrument of good. It says, okay, you got this crisis, and the leader says we got to usurp a little bit of power because we want to do something good. But Washington warns, hello, this is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. So Washington is saying, in times of crises and discord and pandemics and shootings, that's when you most have to be on your guard not to let power concentrate. Washington, again, farewell address says, whatever transient temporary benefit is gained by the usurpation of power is far outweighed by the permanent evil and destruction that it does to our form of government. Mm.
Let's get right up with the phone lines. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. What do you think about the idea of a state guard, folks? Does your state have that provision yet? Obviously, if you're in Texas or Florida, apparently you do. And apparently Governor DeSantis is already underway with that. I saw that many months ago. Maybe he anticipates what's coming. What about your state, folks? Do you have that? Would you be willing to join a state guard? Can you believe we're even having conversations here in the United States of America, as we're just a few days from the 4th of July, that we once again, now this time, have to reassert our God-given rights and independence, not from Great Britain, but from a tyrannical federal government? It's really ironic that we're here, and here we are watching all this. And not only the federal government, but the globalists, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization. Those 12 of those 13 amendments the Biden regime wanted under the WHO and to steal national sovereignty failed. But we hear that many of those nations voted against it, particularly some of the African nations, because they want it all in one big international global pandemic treaty coming up in August. So we're not only talking about trying to organize as individuals, as patriots, as Christians, as Americans, as conservatives, as perhaps conservative Jews, against a rising anti-Semitism and Christian bigotry, but a hatred of conservatives, a hatred of Christians. Would you join a state guard? By the way, on the website Natural News, our friend Mike Adams is reporting both the U.S. Supreme Court declared that murdering unborn human life, before the U.S. Supreme Court declared that murdering human life was not a federal right, leftists plan a so-called night of rage to riot against the decision. The George Floyd event of 2022, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, is shaping up to become another mass destruction event where the extremists on the left howl and break things and possibly commit violence against humans outside the womb. Quote, DC called action, night of rage, the night the SCOTUS overturns Roe v. Wade, we hit the streets, you said you'd riot, reads a flyer that was spotted on a light pole in Washington, D.C. the other night. And folks, what do we see happen? Well, we see that in Arizona, they surrounded the state capitol in Arizona with a lot of legislators in there. And this is getting, it's heating up. In my report tonight, Worldview Report, I'm going to report on some of the pro-life groups over the weekend, pro-life centers that were, again, attacked. What about churches? Many people are telling churches they better pay attention to what's going on. How about high-profile conservatives? Some have predicted assassination attempts, and yet that's exactly what the Weather Underground and some of these groups have been calling for years. When this finally happens, to start assassinations of well-known conservatives they disagree with. We'll be right back with your calls. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. Continue praying for Dr. Carrie Madej. She was involved in a single-engine plane crash yesterday with one other person. I think it was in the state of Georgia. Went down in a heavily wooded area right after takeoff, we're being told. And we understand she was in surgery for many, many hours yesterday and is in serious, serious condition. So be praying for Carrie Madej. Ironically, yesterday I was working on and post-editing, or that was Saturday, Brainwashed America, and I was actually pulling up a picture of her and I together in Missouri last August at a conference where I interviewed her, and she is one of the many doctors I've interviewed, and I'm talking about that in the documentary. So she was on my mind this weekend, and I was thinking to myself, I got to get her back on and interview her some more. And then we find out this morning about this event, this tragic event that occurred yesterday. So be praying for Dr. Carrie Madej. We'll keep you posted as news comes in. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's start out with Dick, line 4 in Maryland. Dick, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, Brandon, let's look at a couple of things. The red flag laws and the Supreme Court that would allow some states to give out permits. My own observation, certainly in Maryland, it'll take a long time for more permits to actually happen and the number of people with guns to increase. I think at the same time, you're going to have the red flag laws activated against people like you and Bill Federer and Colonel Sellin to come after you with no due process and take every weapon out of your house. The net impact of that is with red flag laws, they can take massive amounts of gun out of homes. That's the law now. The other comment, I think that Colonel Sellin is making a massively important point. The U.S. military is more likely to be turned against Americans. That's incredible, and it challenges people to think through, why would there not be an exodus from the U.S. military of patriotic people? It's not happening. Why isn't there an exodus from the FBI? Patriotic people. It's the same topic as why is there not a massive exodus out of the public school system? People protest about how bad the schools are, but they leave their kids in the school. And now you've got sailors and soldiers staying in the military despite what we're talking about. They will be used against Americans. Why aren't people exiting the military?
Good question. And you know, Leo, Dick, as well, people look at Germany and say, how did they let that happen? We're seeing how it happens right here in America.
Exactly. We've got a real problem with the typical American human nature kind of person just not dealing with the reality. How many people have you had on your program that say we are at war?
Yep.
So many, and that is what people don't want to deal with.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to another call. Landy in Wisconsin, Brookfield, line 1. Go ahead, Landy.
Hey there. Yeah, just listening to Dick as well, and it brings me to this question that I had for you is that don't we definitely need a state guard? I live in the lovely state of Wisconsin, where we have the worst governor ever. And, how is it possible to start a state guard in a state like this, where we have a Democratic governor who is totally against anything normal and moral? Is that something that can be done, maybe by a county-by-county basis? I know that the county I live in is very pro-Republican. A question for you of whether you have that answer or not.
Well, I would think that your sheriff can deputize, train, and deputize anyone he wants. And so I would think your mm-hmm. sheriff could absolutely put people through a civilian training program, deputize them, and call them up and exercise his authority in that county as sheriff on a smaller scale to protect the people in that county. And in some regards, maybe too, that's what states will have to do, is be these sanctuary counties for liberty that we've talked about in the past. That's what do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I'm very concerned. The previous caller talked about an exodus from the military. It happened. I've talked to dozens and dozens of generals and colonels who have already been pushed out of the military under Obama, under these demanding of the LGBT, now the vaccinations, now the critical race theory. I spoke in Boston last month. A couple had their daughter at West Point, and they talked about how she was forced out. They locked all the cadets in a room, and they said, you either have to embrace this critical race theory or you're out. And this girl with her black roommate, they wouldn't go along with it. They were pushed out. We literally are seeing a purging of the military of anybody with traditional value, even ones with any type of bodily integrity. All they want is yes men. And whenever that happens, Hitler did the same thing. He pushed out all the people that were faithful to the Weimar Republic, and all he had left was yes men. Stalin did the same thing. Lenin, when he talked the generals into sitting on their hands when he got the Tsar put on a train and sent to Siberia, and then he calls all the Russian generals in, and they think they're going to be put in charge. And all Lenin does is line them up and shoots them all. And so all that's left are yes men that obey Lenin. And so this idea is you purge the military right before you use the military to do a national crackdown. And again, the fraud and force are the two tools of a tyrant. Fraud is they'll lie to you and take away your freedoms as long as you let them. And when you finally see through the lies, then they may as well come out of the closet, and they just rule through force.
Let's go to Bob.
So this is very serious.
Bob in Tyler, Texas. Bob, thanks for calling in, Bob.
Hey, Brandon. I want to thank you for Peter Brigand's book.
Thank you.
It's utterly fantastic.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm recently a precinct chair.
Oh, good.
In my county.
Good.
And the reason I ran was so I could meet all the neighbors. one of the guys is in charge of repairing all the National Guard stuff that gets broke in their war games. And I've got three cardiologists, a bunch of nurses. But anyway, the idea with the precincts, that's 3,000 people, basically. And I look at it as that which is necessary for the security of a free state.
Yeah, and by the
it's
way, Bob,
organized. We got their addresses and phone numbers.
Precinct.
I've called 400 of them and,
wow,
you know, met with some amazing people. And it seems like a way to organize under this Texas Defense Guard Act.
Absolutely. Because you guys have the power as a precinct people to put a lot of credible pressure on your legislature, because they realize that you guys actually, as actual precinct committee members, have actual authority and power. So it's actually very, very powerful. And you got all that, I'm sure, through precinctstrategy.com, right?
Well, I got it actually from Robert West's five-star plan, and it's specific for Texas, but it was the most unbelievable book, and it's but Dan Schwartz was the first
yes.
that I saw, but
yeah.
Robert West is specific for Texas, and it's making all the difference. I tell you, they centered Abbott in 17 counties, two really big ones.
Well, you know what, folks? I think it's precinctstrategy.com, and there's like 200,000 seats open that the Rhino Republicans don't want you to know about. All right. Thank you, Bill Federer. Take care, folks.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.